story of Mert and Marge. Myrtle Spear has disappeared. She vanished mysteriously and without a trace after she went out on a date with Harry Duffy, the brother of the Chicago gang leader. Just before they went out, Harry told her that he was giving Jimmy Minter a chance to join the mob. Duffy promised to have Myrtle back by 6 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, she had not returned. 7 o'clock came, 8. Hayfield's Pleasures went on for the evening performance, but without Myrtle, who hadn't missed a show for 10 years. Margie was frantic. She enlisted the aid of Jack Arnold, who instituted a widespread search for the missing girl. In just a moment, we'll hear today's episode in the story of Mert and Marge. Let's flash back to the time when Mert and Harry Duffy left Mert's apartment. As they come out onto the street, they find a car waiting. The driver is Slim, the same chauffeur who took Mert and Duffy to Murray's the first night Duffy met her. They get into the car and Harry says,
"Well, we're off, baby."
Oh, you didn't tell the driver where to go, Harry.
Slim knows where he's going. Is there some place I want to show you, Mert? A kind of a place where you'd fit in, if you took up my proposition.
What proposition, Harry?
Say, kid, don't think just because I passed out of the picture the other night that I've forgotten it. In this place we're going to, you'd meet all the big shots in town. And they'd be doing it for you, kid. I'd cut you in big. Oh, Mert, baby, I'm crazy about you. Why, I guess I want to marry you, baby.
Hey, don't rush me, Harry. Tell me more about this place that we're going.
No, I want to surprise you. Oh, gee, Mert, I'm going on you. Tie in with me, honey. I'll get you anything you want. A Statue of Liberty, or a farm, or a...
All right, Santa Claus.
Now, listen, Mert, I've had lots of girls. Why wouldn't I? With my money and my looks? But honest, kid, there wasn't any of them like you. You got class. I'm serious.
Oh, Harry, forget it.
Forget it? Hey, I don't get you. Why should I forget it?
Oh, the serious stuff. You don't know me, and I don't know you very well. Let's get acquainted first.
Okay, baby.
Tell me something about yourself, Harry. Who are you? What are you, and why?
Well, what did I tell you at Murray's the other night?
Oh, you said you were in a racket with your brother Spike, and that you were coming in here to take over Houston's business. You offered me a proposition, so go ahead. Shoot me the proposition.
Well, it's like this, baby. Back in the old days, the Duffys controlled the biggest and the best joints in this town. And in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Along comes Houston and his boys and muscles in our racket. And Spike, yeah, he's my brother. He ain't never forgave me.
They're called speakeasies then, weren't they, Harry?
Yeah, but they're the same joints. Same locations. Just different names to them. Well, Houston's a silent guy behind these joints. He's got a lot of front guys to run them. You know, Houston's made a million off in our business.
Well, how did you Duffys get those swell joints in the first place?
Oh, we took them away from the Anginellis. Just muscled them out.
Oh, I see. It was very clever of you Duffys.
Well, that Red Rooster dump is just headquarters for Houston and his boys. Houston wants to be a hog, so he dabbles in black market stuff. Gets in bad with Big John Law, which makes a fine setup for us. They were going to take what belongs rightful to us. Or else.
Else what?
Or else it's too bad for the rest of Houston's gang. Bill Houston is booked for a long stretch, so he won't be giving us any trouble.
Aren't we almost to that place?
Yeah, almost. It's a little early in the day. There won't be a crowd there. They start coming in around 4 p.m. Say, have you ever heard of the Sandfield Club?
No, it's a new one on me.
It's only been open a few weeks. Even the Dicks don't know about the place.
How about the Toms and Harry?
Well, this is one Harry who knows about it. You know, this Sandfield's a Chicago boy. He fronts for the place. Spike Duffy's his big boss. None of the Houston gang knows who's behind this outfit.
Did the Duffy boys take this place away from someone else?
No, this is a legitimate investment of Spike's. Only it ain't supposed to be running. According to City Hall. You know, a place like this, Murder, is where you'd fit in. Swell dame like you as a hostess.
Oh, I'm beginning to see the light.
Well, lighten up them eyes, kid, and put on your prettiest smile. You're going to meet the Duke. That's Stanfield's nickname. Here, let me help you out, baby.
Thank you.
Right up these steps, kid.
Yeah, I hope they serve a good lunch in here. I could eat an overstuffed sofa.
Okay, step right in, honey.
Oh, so this is it.
Yeah, this is strictly big time, honey. When they spin a wheel in here, Wall Street takes notice.
Well, here I am, Alice in Wonderland. Where's the dining room?
Well, it doesn't open until evening. Here, hang on. We're going in here to the cocktail lounge. That's always open.
Oh, not so fast, huh? Harry. We aren't in the subway.
Right in here. Well, we got the whole room to ourselves.
How do you do, Mr. Duffy? What can I serve you?
What do you have, Mert?
Tell him to shake me up a nice steak with French fries.
Hey, don't stare at the lady like that, Bill. Wake up the chef and tell him to find this steak and make it good. Serve it upstairs. Now, come on, kid. I want to show you the second floor.
Well, lead on, Mr. Cook. I've got a round-trip ticket.
Right up these stairs, baby. You know you're in the most exclusive gambling joint in New York City? You're going to see what the poor little rich boys do when they're sick of Wall Street.
Hmm.
Here, you have to knock on this door before you get in. It's all right, Sonny. I know the lady.
Uh-oh. I saw it in the movies. It's like Monte Carlo.
Where'd you see the way they toss the coin around? You want to try your luck, Mert?
I want to eat.
Either way, it'll be up here soon. Come on, I'll stake you to a stack.
I'd rather stack a steak.
Chips here.
There you are, Mr. Duffy.
You know the game, Mert?
Very little, but I'll trust the luck.
I got a system. I always play 27 and 29.
Well, I'll play 11. Hey. I was stranded in Waterloo, Iowa once for 11 days and had the time of my life.
Hello, Duffy. I want to see you for a minute.
Hello, Duke. Miss Spear, this is Mr. Sanfield, known as the Duke.
I'm glad to know you, Duke. How's the Duchess?
How do you do, Miss Spear? Will you excuse Harry for a minute? I want to speak to him.
Well, surely. Take your time, Harry. I lost on 11, but it's my hunch. I'll play it again.
These are yours, miss. You won.
All mine? Why, I only put 5 chips on 11.
Pays 35 to 1 when you win.
Say, this is easy. How much did I get back?
$175, miss.
How you doing, Mert?
Harry, I won on 11, and I'm playing it again. Oh, it won again.
Hey, Miss Lucky, looks like you're out to clean the works.
3 more spins and I retire.
You should have done that 10 years ago, Spear.
Why, if it isn't Billy DeVere. Who left the door open?
Whoever did closed it by now. It may not be so easy to get it open again, Mrs. Assistant District Attorney.
Say, Mert, who is this name? What does she mean?
She'll tell you, ask her, mister.
She's in the show with me, Harry. One of my best friends, aren't you, Billy?
You won't think so, Spear, when I spill this little speech. This dame runs hand in glove with Jack Arnold. I guess you know who he is.
Oh, look here, Billy. I ought to let you
What's
have
all
it.
All of us? Don't you think you'd better retire to some other spot?
All right, Duke. Hey, you, out here in the hall. Now, what's on your mind, sister?
Well, as I was saying, Miss Spear is a great friend of our assistant district attorney, Jack Arnold.
Do you know him, Mert?
Well, sure I know him. He's my attorney.
Say, Mert, if I thought you were trying to pull a fast one on me, I'd...
You'd what?
Oh, don't get so, kid. I know you're all right.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
Hey, you beat it, sister. Tell your trouble to a judge.
You better watch your step, big boy, or you'll be telling him to a judge.
Say, I don't take any lip from a broad like you. I ought to slap you down.
No rough stuff, Duffy. I can vouch for this girl. She comes in here with one of her biggest patrons, but this red-headed girl, we don't know anything about her.
Well, I do, and I'm vouching for her. And the first guy who says anything about her, I'll cripple him.
Slim, our friend wants to play rough. I think we should pacify him.
Let's not get tough, Slim.
Oh! Well, you big gorilla! Leave him alone!
He'll be all right in a few minutes. Put him in room 30 and keep him there until I ask for him, Slim. Now, Miss Spear, if you'll just walk ahead of me up these stairs, I'll show you the prettiest little suite of rooms where you can relax or listen to the radio.
What do you play up there?
A little game called Questions and Answers.
Billy, the next time you play the wheel, put your chips on 11. Came up twice for me.
Yeah? And then you hit 13.
Right this way, little lady.
I'm coming. Say, Mr. Sandfield, I've heard that dukes are kind to little girls.
Yes, if they behave nicely. Now, isn't this a pretty place? The windows are very high from the ground and barred. There's no telephone in here, and it won't do you any good to yell or break up the furniture, because no one will hear you.
All right. I'll be good.
Now, before I lock this door on the outside, is there any little thing you'd like, Miss Spear?
Yes. Tell them to send up that steak and French fries I ordered. I'm starved.
Myrtle has really gotten herself into a tough spot. Jack Arnold had warned her that she was playing with dangerous company, and Jack wasn't fooling. Maybe she'll be able to talk her way out of Duke Sandfield's private little prison. Be sure to hear the next fast-moving episode of the story of Mert and Marge. This is Andre Baruch speaking.